Hebrews chapter 10, talking about a word tonight, and the word is a big word. We don't use it very often. The word is exhortation. Exhortation. That is a big word. And quite honestly, not only do we not use the word very often, we don't do it very often either. The word exhort means to incite by argument or advice, urge strongly, to give warning, to nudge, press, prod, or prompt. That's what exhort means. Exhorting and encouraging are different. It's not the same. Encouraging is building up another person using compliments or praise, and its purpose is to lift the spirits of a person who is low, discouraged, or depressed. Solomon says in Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Encouraging words not only boost a person's emotions, but literally promotes healing. That's not what exhortation is. Exhortation is uncomfortable for both parties. Which is probably why we seldom do it. But here in Hebrews chapter 10, if you look in verse number 23, the Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, you have brought us here to this passage tonight for a reason. Lord, I ask that you would show us what you want us to see. Open our ears and our hearts. Lord, help us to be attentive to your word and obedient to you.
Yes.
Help me to say what I should and only what I should. And I do thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hold fast here means to hold tight. The profession of our faith is our Christian walk, our daily conduct. Our actions, our words, tells a story. That is our conduct. That is our Christian walk. And when our actions and our words throw conflicting signals, it's our actions that normally tell the truth. So what he's talking about here in verse 23, about our holding fast or holding tight to our faith, he's talking about make it a special effort to conduct yourself like Jesus would. Walk the talk. Don't just talk the walk. Without wavering. So what is wavering? Wavering is to fluctuate in opinion, allegiance, or direction. To weave or sway unsteadily to and fro. This happens typically because of a lack of knowledge, commitment, and or accountability. Knowledge is weak, due to insufficient time studying God's Word. A person wavers in their belief because they don't know what they believe or why they believe it. That's very common in today's church.
Sadly true.
If we stood at the door tonight and had everyone line up and ask doctrinal questions and required an answer before you could walk out, we would have to camp out here tonight. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying is true. When we are questioned by someone about a biblical question, many times our response is, call Brother Tommy. Right? We don't even want to take the time to answer their question. Mm. We don't know the answer, don't feel that we need to. That is biblical illiteracy. We can blame no one about that but ourselves. We can't blame our pastor. It's not his job to feed us on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and really not even on Sunday. That's our job. We're supposed to go to our Bible, study it to learn what God wants us to see. So knowledge of God's Word is weak because we don't spend enough time studying it. People waver because they have yet to make a strong commitment to follow God's laws. Strong commitments come with consequences. I want you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10. I know that you are aware of what Nehemiah did. He left Babylon to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. Took a whole lot. He went through a whole lot of friction from every angle to get it done, even from his own people. But here in chapter 10, they had a revival after reading God's law. And in verse 29, look what it says. It says that they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe to do all the commandments of the Lord our Lord and His judgments and His statutes. To what they did here, after they got right with God, they read the book of the law, they recognized clearly that they had not been doing what they were supposed to be doing. And by the way, they didn't know that until they read it in God's law. A lot of times that's the case with us as well. We ignorantly go day to day being disobedient to God because we just didn't know.
Right.
We didn't know because we didn't search it out.
Right.
So that's what they did here in Nehemiah. And they made a commitment. We're gonna do what God said. But they took that commitment to the next level, and the Bible says here, they entered into a curse. What that means is they laid out some consequences. If we go back on our commitment, I want you to come to my house with your belt and beat the daylights out of me. Or I want you to come before the church and you make sure that they know what I've done. I want you to come and tell my wife that I've messed up. That's entering into a curse. Brother Bruce, that's going a little bit too far. Well, I don't think so, because that's what the Bible says. They entered into a curse because they recognized the value of being obedient. They also recognized what was going to happen if they turned back on it.
Yes. Amen.
They didn't want to do that. Turn to Psalms chapter 15. Psalms chapter 15. Short chapter. David asks a question. He says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? I think he's wanting to know, who is it that's going to stay close to you and stay committed to you and do what is right? And then he answers his own question. Verse 2, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. And then look what he says right here. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. What's he saying right there? He's made a commitment and has devised some sort of consequence for himself if he breaks that commitment. Many times when we make commitments, we make them silently. Just in case we want to go back on it.
Yeah.
Then it won't be embarrassing. We don't like it when people call us out.
Right.
But then the third reason that people waver is because of lack of accountability. Remember, King David wallowed in his sin of adultery and murder for a whole year until the brave prophet Nathan came to him and put his finger up and said, you're the man. You're guilty. For a whole year, he didn't repent.
Yeah.
Till somebody held him accountable. We need accountability. If King David needed accountability, the man after God's own heart, you and I certainly need accountability. Holding each other accountable through exhortation is vital. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, let us consider one another. That means I need to just stop and think about somebody in this church that I need to go to. Maybe they've made a commitment and I'm aware of it. And I need to go to that person, contact them, and ask them how that commitment's going. For example, Brother Tommy preaches about our need to share Jesus with somebody. Brother Phil gets under conviction. He comes to the altar and he prays. I pray with him. And he says, I just need prayer. I know I don't share Jesus with people like I should. Many times I get that nudge from the Holy Spirit and I just don't do it. And I'm wrong for that. I want to do better. And I pray with you. Exhortation is a week later when I go to Brother Phil and I say, Brother Phil, how's that going? Did you talk to somebody this week about the Lord? He says to me, well, I could be doing better. And I say to him, then what are you going to do about that? What are you doing about that?
Mm.
If God told you to sharpen up and you don't, you're asking for it. That's exhortation. That's not encouraging. They're different. We like to be encouraged. We even encourage other people. But it's uncomfortable. Because you don't know how things are going to turn out.
Right.
Brother Phil might explode on me. And in fact, he might call me out. It's awkward. You stand a chance of people accusing you of being judgmental. And possibly even getting personally attacked back. And so what we do is we just don't do it. Which is disobedience, if you've just read the same three verses that I just read. Right?
Yes.
Look in verse 30 of this same chapter. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God will deal with sin. Your sin. My sin. In verse 30 and 31, he's not talking about the heathen, the unsaved.
Right.
He's talking about you and I. He will deal with our sin. By the way, you don't have to wait for somebody to go to the altar in order to exhort them. We've kind of come kind of shy of even going to the altar anyway. So if we're going to wait for that, we may be waiting a good while.
Right.
So maybe what we need to do here is just take some time to consider one another, like it says in verse number 24, and just select somebody to go to and ask, what has God been showing you in your Bible study recently? Or have you been showing respect to your husband the way you should be? Have you been loving your wife unselfishly like you ought to? This is not being nosy. It's not being judgmental. It's being obedient. However, you need to get prepared for them to reciprocate, because they may ask you a similar question. And maybe that's why there's so little exhortation going on. Don't ask me, and I won't ask you. Maybe it's not a problem of a lack of exhortation, but a lack of personal obedience to God. Remember, walk the talk. Don't just talk the walk. Our church is stagnant because we are stagnant. We are apathetic. Mm. We are disobedient in this area and maybe many others. Mm. We're like the Pharisees who Jesus said, you love God with your mouth, but not your heart. We say that we love God, but choose to disobey Him daily. We say that we believe in hell and that there's lost people all around us, but we choose to not talk to them and share Jesus with them. We say that we believe that God is just and that He will deal with our sins, but rarely dive into that deep water asking Him to show us our sin so that we can confess it and forsake it because we like it. We're comfortable in it. Remember, it's not comfortable to exhort somebody.
Mm, right.
Our actions and our words tell a story. But when our actions and our words throw conflicting signals, it's our actions that normally tell the truth.
Yes.
So here's my challenge. Pray the prayer of David in Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked thing in me. Then spend a healthy amount of time in God's Word to allow God to show you where He wants you to make a change. Then make that commitment. Then write that commitment on paper. Then show that commitment to somebody and ask them to hold you accountable. Remember, the reason many times that we waver is because we don't make that commitment.
That's right.
He that sweareth to his own hurt, that's the one that abides in the tabernacle of the Most High. We like to come in and leave and hide the things that are afflicting us. How are you doing? Great. No, you're not. We need God more than we think.
Amen.
We need to be obedient more than we are.
Yes, sir.
We need to exhort each other because that, just like he said in verse 25, times are getting worse. He said, so much more as you see the day approaching.
Right.
It's becoming more and more important. We're under attack today like never before. We've got it coming from every angle. And we do a pretty good job of hiding it. I'm talking about our failures.
Yes.
Our sin.
Yeah.
But this exhortation thing, that's going to help us. But it's not likely that we're going to exhort somebody if we expect them to reciprocate. That's where our problem is. So I hope you take the challenge. You pray the prayer. Genuinely. And you ask God to open your eyes to your sin. Remember, those people in Nehemiah's day, they didn't realize that they were sinning until they opened up the book and read it. And the Bible says that they all began weeping because they recognized that they had been majorly disobedient and that the consequences from God was coming their way. Make the commitment, write it on paper, and then show it to somebody and ask them to hold you accountable. We need to exhort each other. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you would help me. Lord, show me where I need to make the changes that you want me to make. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be obedient, to exhort other people like I should. Lord, help us to get serious about our walk with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn to 480.